This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The guys are out. We are in. He's Bart Scott, and I'm Jen Latta. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and just one more sleep, Bart.
One more sleep.
We've got NFL football. Now, I know it is just preseason. It is just the Hall of Fame game, and you might not see a lot of the starters out there. But the Cowboys and Steelers do get after it tomorrow night in Canton, Ohio. Of course, this weekend is the Hall of Fame inductions as well for the 2020 class. And the 2021 class. So it's going to be real, real crowded out in Canton this weekend. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, though, because the big story, of course, is that the Cowboys will not play Dak. The latest is that he could resume throwing next week. The day after he had that injury, Mike McCarthy said that he could throw in just a few days, but they've reevaluated that. The medical staff met with him on Monday and said, no, we're going to keep him from throwing a little bit longer. Let's hear from Mike McCarthy on Dak Prescott's status.
You know, after the research and looking at it, we just don't want this to turn into something big. So it's he's doing everything that he possibly can, and but we're just being a little more conservative with his rehab. If it was in season, I think it'd be a different outlook, you know, different focus. But this, you know, because of where we are, having the extra week, we just want to make sure this doesn't turn into something bigger.
Now, of course, Dak Prescott wanted to get some preseason reps because he was coming off of that ankle injury. He had surgery in October, and then he had surgery again in December. Look, a lot of these veterans don't want to be out there. They don't want to be under center during the preseason. But he was saying, look, I got to see some live contact. I got to see some live action. That doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least for now.
It's important.
How concerned should Dallas Cowboy fans be if you have to turn to Garrett Gilbert or Ben DiNucci to hold things down? And it will likely be Gilbert. He's been the guy behind Dak Prescott. How concerned should they be about the season?
I mean, I'm not concerned with the season, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, the first day you show up for training camp, that's the healthiest you're going to be all year, right? So right now we're already chipping away at Dak Prescott. And when I was watching him on that boot, to me it looked like he had a little limp to his giddy up. It didn't look fluent. And it's important for him to get hit and tackled. They're going to have to put him in some live drills just so he can have the confidence to say that, hey, I can withstand a tackle. I can hold up another man's body weight. Because that's important, because if not, then you don't want him having questions on Sunday whether he can do certain things or be hesitant and be afraid, because, you know, playing in the game is about reacting naturally. And if you got hesitation about something, you give the defender another second or nanosecond to be able to react, and it slows you down. It's the difference. Like, you know, like they say in any given Sunday, this is a game of inches, right? You know, you got to try and fight and claw for that inch. But to do that, you got to have confidence that the body's going to hold up. You don't want Dak Prescott to come in this season and be conservative, because they need Dak Prescott to play with a reckless abandon under control at the same time.
We had Mike Tannenbaum join the show earlier this morning. He's our ESPN NFL front office insider. Here's what he had to say about the concerns surrounding Dak's injury.
Absolutely. I'd be hugely concerned, and here's why. You're talking about your starting quarterback who you're paying $40 million a year, hasn't played in a year, and he's already had an injury, and it's that old axiom, guys. Quarterbacks throw with their legs. Vinny Testaverde, Dan Marino, they're going to go to the grave being able to throw the ball. What did them in were lower foot injuries, Achilles in Vinny's case. Dan at the end had, you know, foot and ankle issues. And if he's nicked up now in the first week of August, this is an 18-week, 17-game marathon, guys. And if he's sore today, what's going to happen by Thanksgiving? And I'm very bullish on Dallas, very bullish on Dan Quinn and all their weapons, but make no mistake about it, this is not a minor injury. We're not talking about, you know, his left wrist or non-throwing shoulder. This is a guy that hasn't played in a year, already has soreness in the shoulder, and now they're pushing it back. Like, those to me are ominous concerns.
Yeah.
Well, and I think people are still skeptical about what Garrett Gilbert can do under center. Obviously, he's the backup. He has only attempted 44 passes in his NFL career. But he mentioned Dan Quinn. When I look at this team, it does feel a little like they are going to live and die by their defense. Now, again, Dak Prescott, a very good quarterback, but they've got injuries elsewhere on the team as well. I think Amari Cooper is dealing with an ankle injury. He'll be out for a few weeks. So you do need that defense to come to work as well. And Dan Quinn, of course, having success in Seattle, defensive coordinator for the Legion of Boom. They went defensive heavy in this draft. It was obvious that they were putting emphasis on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, because they have to have balance, right? The offense showed that they can handle the load. But it reminded me a little bit of the Chip Kelly days where the offense goes out there, put up points, but the defense couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. And what happens is, you know, they've had the personnel. They just lack the scheme. I think the game had maybe passed Mike Nolan by a little bit. And they've done a good job in going out and acquiring talent. You know, Michael Parsons is going to come in. He's going to be a young, you know, enthusiastic playmaker. You know, you think about, you know, pairing him with Jalen Smith if he can get back. You know, you think about Keanu Neal, guys who have, you know, had success in this league. And, you know, you hope that, you know, they can live up to or play to the back of their playing cards. Calvin Joseph, I think, is going to create balance. I thought he was a steal in the second half. But at the end of the day, I think the best way to protect this defense is to run the ball, put points up, but be able to also salt the game away when you go up by more than two scores, and that's going to be based on Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think you can really put Dak Prescott at harm's way because, you know, what people don't realize, or maybe they realize it, the NFL is unforgiving, right? So Dak Prescott has a lower leg injury. Guess where I'm tackling him? So if you want to go with these RPOs and put me in the rest because now you have a dual threat quarterback, I'm going to chop his legs down and make him, you know, I'm going to try and chop wood on that injury, on that incision. That's just how the game goes, right? And, you know, so they're going to have to be conservative and be more about running the ball with Ezekiel Elliott, which gives me an advantage as a defensive player because it gives me an element that I don't have to worry about.
It's a great point. You have to protect your investment. Obviously, that goes without saying. But we talk about how bad they were on defense last year. They finished 28th in scoring defense, 31st in rushing defense. And how much did they invest in that side of the ball, guys? They used their first six picks in the NFL draft this past year on defense. Two linebackers, two cornerbacks, two defensive linemen. Clearly knew it was an issue. Clearly knew it was one of their Achilles heels. Let's go to the other team that is going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game, and that, of course, is the Steelers. Look, the Steelers' offensive line is a huge question mark. But also a question mark is Big Ben going to be under center after this season? Now, we know that the Steelers started out gangbusters last year, rolling out 11 wins. We thought they were going to, you know, contend for maybe an undefeated season. But the season is long, and the season is hard. And obviously, they stumbled down the stretch. Art Rooney saying yesterday that they don't know. Maybe we won't rule out Big Ben returning in 2022. Art Rooney saying, we are aware this could be Ben's last year. We hope it's a great one. That's as far as we can go with it right now. Obviously, if this is his last year, the next year we'll be making decisions on a quarterback and we'll address it as the time comes up. The 39-year-old quarterback signed a new contract with the Steelers. He took a little less money. I think it was like a $5 million pay cut, lowering his salary cap hit as well. I mean, I know that this feels like looking very, very far into the future because we haven't even started this NFL season, but how many more snaps does Big Ben legitimately have still to go?
I think at the end of the season, if Ben, even if Ben has a great season, they have to address the future. And, you know, because Ben has had so many injuries, they're going to have to make sure that they you know, let him go a year too early and not a year too late. It's interesting next year, right, when you think about what the possibilities could be, right? Who knows if Jameis Winston has a bounce back year? Because they may need a bridge quarterback, like when they had Cordell Stewart. You know, when you're leaving from sometime a good quarterback, you need a bridge quarterback before you can address, you know, a young quarterback on the roster. They're hoping that Dwayne Haskins can maybe mature a little bit, a former top 10 pick. Maybe he can be the guy in the future. But he's not ready now, and he's definitely not mature, you know, dealing with all the things he's dealing with off the field. But, you know, an interesting thing that people may not be talking about and may not understand, I talk about Jameis Winston, I talk about, you know, Cam Newton. What if it's a quarterback that's used to playing at one of the most historical organizations in the league.
Don't you do it.
Decides to say, you know what, I love the fact that Mike Tomlin is a leader of men. I look at these weapons that I have on the outside.
Don't you say
I look at DeAndre Johnson. I look at Chase Claypool. I look at Juju Smith-Schuster. I look at Najee Harris. Hey, it reminds me of a roster that I had. How about Aaron?
I knew Mr. Rodgers
decides to go to Pittsburgh and live in that neighborhood for a couple of years. You know, what that could be for that division and what that can mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is one of the most proudest franchises with some of the most rings. I think they're sitting at six. I think only New England is close to them, and maybe Dallas is close. I mean, you talk about Aaron potentially. You go from Ben Roethlisberger to Aaron Rodgers in his prime. I mean, come on, man. That is like a match made in hell, because me as a Ravens fan would hate to see that ever happen.
Well, it's a very interesting thought. It's an interesting theory. One of Aaron Rodgers' biggest issues in Green Bay has been what? Culture, philosophy, character.
You never have to worry about none of that.
You never have to worry about that with Mike Tomlin and company and the Steelers and Art Rooney and that whole group. Obviously, class personified. That's what you hear about them all the time. All right, we're going to transition here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter.
This is my dog. You know, this is my boy right here.
Yeah, I do know that. I do know.
Okay.
I think everybody's seen. He's your guy. Hold the microphone.
Down like four flats.
Can't wait. Can't wait to get Sal Pal on the line. Good morning, Sal Pal. Great to have you. So much stuff happening, obviously, in the NFL as training camps are underway. So let's start in Indianapolis. What was your reaction to hearing that Carson Wentz would be out with another injury? And, of course, the added detail of their offensive lineman being out as well.
Well, let's start with Carson Wentz. And good morning. It's great to be on the show, and thanks for having me. Personally, I was saddened to hear about Carson Wentz. You know, despite everything that happened in Philadelphia, I think a lot of people in Philly were happy that he was able to land on his feet. And, you know, he was, from every story that I ever heard about him here in Philadelphia, he was a guy who you could count on, and he was a guy who was going to work as hard as he possibly could to come back. And we were rooting for him. And obviously, from a selfish standpoint, we were rooting for him because the Eagles could collect the first round pick.
Yes.
If the Colts, yeah, you know, there's always selfish things involved, right, Bart? It's not altruistic here in Philadelphia. You get that. You understand that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think people are saddened that he'll be out with a foot injury and that he's injured again. It's a tough blow for him personally and for Frank Reich and the Colts.
Well, you think about the Eagles and the, you know, misery continues to add up as you, you know, the reports of Devonta Smith has a strained MCL and he's going to be out for 3 weeks. What can you tell us about, you know, his injury and the expectations for him in his rookie year?
Well, Bart, I was there at camp at the end of last week, Thursday and Friday. And he has looked very good, got very high marks when I talked one-on-one with Nick Sirianni, the head coach, and I watched him. Great body control, terrific hands, and I think people are just getting their eyes opened up by just his ability to catch everything nearby. He had just a great presence on the field, a quiet presence, and it's tough. Especially when you have your first round pick go out and miss all that camp time. You've been on a lot of teams, Bart, and you've seen where a young player or a rookie player gets hurt at the beginning of the camp, and then they miss 3 weeks of camp reps, and they miss maybe a couple of preseason games. That kind of injury early in camp sets you back for 3-4 weeks, maybe 5-6 weeks in the season. Especially a leg injury to a wide receiver. And the Eagles saw that last year with Jalen Reagor, remember?
Yeah.
Barty got hurt at Lincoln Financial Field on a special teams play, the wide receiver that they picked in the first round last year. So they've been snake-bitten 2 years in a row with this.
Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. He's been bouncing around training camps already early this offseason. I guess we're not technically in the offseason anymore, right?
It's go time.
We got a game on Thursday, Jen. Let's get with it. What was your biggest takeaway from Zach Wilson's early days? Because I know you've been at Jets camp as well.
Well, you know, I was just blown away by Zach Wilson. And by the way, Jen, I just got to say something to Bart. He was there that day that I was there on Saturday. And I was there. I was ready to interview him. I was ready to do the reprise of Can't Wait. And he avoided me. I don't know what was going on there. I just want.
It was Daddy Daycare style. You know the weekend is for the kitty bitties.
So, you know, we were there actually on the same day, I believe. And I got a chance to talk one-on-one with Robert Saleh. Man, he is a charismatic dude. He really looks like he can coach. He's interacting with players on offense and defense, both sides of the ball. The players, I think, are distinctly connected to him in a way that the past regime did not have it going on. So I really, first of all, love the way Robert Saleh is handling that football team early on. It's a talk about culture change, Jen. Complete culture change with Robert Saleh. Now, as for the young man, Zach Wilson, he got his Jedi mind tricks going on. He got his lightsaber out, and he was throwing the ball on a rope everywhere. The ball explodes out of his hand. Very accurate on the run, which is pretty, I mean, he can throw across his body. The ball has tremendous trajectory and velocity. His deep ball had velocity and accuracy. I was super impressed with his skill set. Elite off the charts movement within the pocket subtly, and then once he gets out of the pocket, he can deliver the football. Now, obviously, we'll see against live rush and all that, but right now, first impression, very, very impressed with Zach Wilson.
So what is the expectations for him? Are we thinking maybe he can have a rookie year that was like Joe Burrow's before he got hurt, or like Herbert? You know, can he have that type of productivity? Because when I look at this roster, I look at the upgrade at the receiver position. You know, you think about Crowder, you know, Elijah Moore, they seems like they have a connection pretty early. And I think people forget that Mims were, you know, he was injured early on, but he had a tremendous season a little bit, you know, if you can project it out, if he would have stayed healthy. And that offensive line is much improved with Morgan Moses being added to the right side of that line.
Right. So, you know, Bart, you talked to Mike LaFleur and you talked to that whole offensive and defensive coaching staff. And the bottom line is he has to take what he did at the collegiate level and now expand it so that it's not one read and run. It's stay in the pocket for one or two reads. And you know what they say, options don't discriminate. So he's got to have options with the football and get the ball out of his hands quickly. That will mitigate the problems that they've had on the offensive line in terms of pass rush, getting to the quarterback, and pass pro. And if he gets the ball out of his hands quickly and trust, and one of the really interesting things that Saleh said to me, he said, you know, he's got to learn the difference between college open and NFL open. And he's got to trust and throw receivers open and trust that the football with his velocity and accuracy will get there. If he does that, then he'll be a lot more successful a lot more quickly. If he doesn't trust it and tucks it and runs, it's going to be a work in progress.
Sal Palantonio joining us on the Goodyear Hotline here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. All right, Sal Pal, I said you've been bouncing around. You also went to Steelers camp. You sat down with Big Ben. You talked to Mike Tomlin. What were the Steelers saying about Big Ben when you were at camp last week? Because obviously the latest out of Steel City is Art Rooney saying it is not written in stone that this is his last year. I don't know how many people can wrap their brains around Big Ben being back out there for another season after this one.
Yeah, and I asked Mike Tomlin about that specifically, and Ben, and they're going year to year. It's a year-to-year lease situation now with Big Ben. He's 39. Things ended poorly last year. But here's the key thing. Ben said to me that the mandate from Art Rooney Jr. on down, from Kevin Colbert, the GM, on down, from the head coach on down to the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, on down, is we will run the football. They will go back to their roots. They'll go back to those Steelers teams that Bart Scott faced in the playoffs back in the day. This is going to be a run-first offense. Now, okay, can you do that with a reconfigured offensive line? Well, you better be able to do it, because you really can't have a 39-year-old quarterback have a rushing attack that's averaging only 84 yards per game, which was last in the league. 32nd in the league in rushing, Jen. You can't have a team 32nd in the league in rushing and expect a 39-year-old quarterback to carry you. So that the answer to me, for me, always is, are they going to be able to be committed to running it, Can they be efficient and productive running it with Najee Harris, a rookie? Can they give him 10, 12, 15, 20, 23 carries a game by midseason? And remember now, and this is such an important thing, fantasy players, everybody out there watching numbers. It's a 17-game season, people. Where will the attrition come? It will come, one, at the running back position. No question, especially a rookie running back. Right, Bart? Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
You got to be able to have depth
that
at the running
wall.
Back position.
I just don't know if
especially
you want to task
a 17-game season, right?
Am I right
about that or what?
Tell me, Sal, am I wrong to say you want to task a kid with that? Like, look, the kid over there with the Chiefs, Edwards-Helaire,
yep.
You know, like expected him to have a big year. Now, he was good. He was real good, but I don't think he was –
Well, he's
crazy
not,
good.
Well, he's not built like Jalen Hurts, and you know we what you want to
do. Najee
Harris,
Yeah.
You want to Jalen Hurts. I got Jalen Hurts on my mind.
That's all right.
You want to try and split some. You want the young guy to kind of ascend throughout the season.
Yeah.
So they're going to have
gradually.
They're going to have to keep on the pitch count. But remember what Ben used the short passing game was just an extension of the run game. So I think you're not throwing 30 carries on him early in the season. You're hoping that when the weather breaks down, you give it to him late in the season.
That's why I said, Bart, start with 10, 12. Absolutely. It's on a gradient. There's no question. They have Benny Snell, they have to be able to. I really like this tight end, Pat Freiermuth, that they got in the second round out of Penn State.
Yeah.
So what did Brady do last year in Tampa, right? They struggled early on, especially with the deep ball. And Bruce Arians – and Byron Leftwich, who, by the way, doesn't get enough credit, in my view, for the job he did as offensive coordinator with Brady last year. They shrunk the offense. They ran the ball more. They shortened up the passing game. And they also put extra offensive linemen and tight ends on the field to help with blocking. And I think that's what you'll see, a repeat of that with the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. They will shrink the field. They'll run the ball. They'll put more big bodies up front. That may reduce the overall points or production that you have, but it'll make them more productive in the running game and also in the red zone where they weren't very good last year. They were just middle of the road, and that's not a Ben Roethlisberger offense. Right.
Well, Najee Harris can only be as good as that offensive line is willing to block for him. So obviously we need to make sure that they get that shored up as well. He was obviously a stud at Alabama, and it wasn't just the carries for Najee at Alabama. It was also the catches, which obviously, like you said, is going to be something they need from him as he evolves. What are you hearing about Bart's guy, Jalen Hurts, progression in Philadelphia, Sal Pal?
Well, I didn't know that Jalen Hurts was Bart's guy.
Well, only because a moment ago he called Najee Harris Jalen Hurts.
I learned new things about Bart Scott all the time. First of all, you can tell that he bulked up. He bodied up. I don't know how many extra pounds of muscle he added, but I'm looking at it just from the eyeball test, and I'm guessing somewhere between 8 and 10. So he has decided that he's going to try to make it through the 17-game season. And he wants to, show his athleticism, but by the same token, sort of begin to really incorporate Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator's offense that they ran in Indianapolis. And what did they run in Indianapolis? Well, ball control. They will run the football. They will have a short passing game. They will rely on the tight ends. And, they will try to control the middle of the hashes. In the middle of the football field between the two hash marks. And hopefully that will reduce the pressure that the offensive line had on Carson Wentz last year, where the league sacked Carson Wentz the most of any quarterback in the NFL, give him better pass protection. And again, options don't discriminate, so let him distribute the football a little bit more from the pocket with the added dimension of his ability to run. And as you saw last year, he was on an incredible pace last year in terms of touchdown production, running the football, and throwing the football. It's just it was a very small sample size. And bottom line is, from what I've seen in camp, he's got to be more accurate in two specific spots. One, when he throws the ball outside the hash marks, and two, when he throws the ball deep. And that's what they're beginning to work on with him early on in camp.
Well, speaking about pressure, Sal, like how closely are the Eagles organization monitoring what's going on and what's happening down in Houston? Because, you know, potentially they have the ammunition for what they were able to do with the draft to be able to acquire a guy like Deshaun Watson.
You know, there are a lot of rumors out there, but I haven't heard anything concrete one way or the other. And I just don't know. I think people right now are just waiting for the situation down in Houston to play itself out, Bart.
Cool.
He is Sal Palantonio.
My guy.
He's your guy. You got all kinds of guys. I'm starting to figure that out.
Well, he's my main guy.
All the guys. ESPN NFL reporter Sal Palantonio making his way around the training camp scene. And, of course, Sal, I hear you're headed to Canton for the Hall of Fame game and ceremony. So safe travels, my friend. Good to chat with you.
Yeah, we're going to kick it off on Thursday at the Hall of Fame game, Steelers and Cowboys. Two words for that. Can't wait.
I love how we brought it full circle.
We both own it.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. There are playoff expectations for the New York Giants, of course. So why are they already fighting with each other in one padded practice? That is coming up next after Bart has this from Indeed.
Finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes. Indeed makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove they have the experience that your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform even helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers four times more the hires of all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit.
Coming up today on the Max Kellerman Show, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert as our countdown to the NFL season continues. Justin Herbert, today at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
SportsCenter right now on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Sydney McLaughlin sets a world record to win the 400-meter hurdles at the Summer Olympics. Delilah Muhammad ran her personal best and won silver. Also in Tokyo, Team USA's women's basketball defeated Australia 79-55. They move on to the quarterfinals. Stateside, it was a very busy day in the NBA. Stephen Curry gets a four-year, $215 million extension from the Warriors. He becomes the first player in NBA history to sign multiple $200 million contracts. And the Lakers agree to a one-year free agency contract with Carmelo Anthony. Anthony is an 18-year veteran and a 10-time All-Star, but he has never made it to the NBA Finals. SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. All on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
NFL Training Camp 2021 with Keyshawn Johnson, the New York Giants.
The New York Football Giants. Woo-wee, Saquon Barkley is back in the fold. Is it the year for Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes? He's got a bunch of weapons. The defense is retooled. Jason Garrett is back as the offensive coordinator. So now what? It's all about Daniel Dimes. Can he do it? We know that Saquon Barkley and Shepard is there. We understand what they did in terms of signing offensive players on both sides of the ball. Defensively, they went out and got players. Adoree Jackson from Tennessee comes over to shore up the secondary. And then when you think about having Saquon Barkley back in the backfield, if he can be the guy that comes in and does exactly what he's supposed to do as he did his rookie year, watch out for the New York Giants.
This is the biggest season ever. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Yeah, where that Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim verses coming, man. I'm trying to catch up on the Locks and Dipset. I'll do that in between shows.
He's been
doing it
in between every single segment here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Bart Scott. I'm Jen Latta, holding it down for the guys. Things got a little crazy at Giants camp yesterday. First full padded day. And there was a full-on team-wide brawl. It started when tight end Evan Ingram retaliated after a late hit to running back Corey Clement. Daniel Jones got pinned down during the brawl. Now, he says he wasn't hurt, so that's good. And then Coach Joe Judge got mad, like real mad, like real, real mad. He made the guys run. He made the guys do some push-ups on the field.
Ooh,
push-ups.
Oh, my God.
So we've been asking you if you like this type of reaction, if it shows toughness or if it's a little like, be quiet, calm down. Calm down, Joe Judge. Where do you stand, Bart?
I mean, listen, Brian Billick made us run, right, because we used to get in fights all the time. We smacked the defense around, and we used to take great offense if they ever had any success. I mean, we remember the Hard Knocks fight where Joe McKnight, God rest his soul, got suplexed over, like, the signage building. I mean, it's a part of it. Listen, it's hot. You leaning up against dudes. You getting cussed out, like, you know, in film study because this guy might have, you know, beat you on something. You like, man, all right, wait till tomorrow. I got him, right? It's personal vendettas that get tied up into this. Like, at the end of the day, you got 90 people there. You got 53 jobs or 55 jobs, however many it is. And you're saying, you know what? I'm not going home. And if I got to step on your chest not to go home, I'm trying to send a message, right? I can remember, like, yesterday when I got tired of being a backup, I went to everybody in the offense. I said, listen, man. Put your chin straps on tight because I'm knocking everybody's ass out and I don't care who you are. I don't want you to be surprised when I come at you because I'm tired of being a backup. And you got that, right? Because the guys like Evan Ingram and why he takes offense to it is because he's the guy that's got his money. He's a guy that's spot is guaranteed. And then, you know, you got some guy that you think is beneath you. You know what I'm saying? Because there's levels to this. So you think he's beneath you. And then if you take offense, if he's playing hard or trying to get his spot and trying to earn his money, and then you know what I'm saying? You either can, you know, either take it or you can retaliate. And Evan Ingram just decided to retaliate. And as a defensive player, I take offense when any offensive player think that he's tough enough to put his hands on me. And that's where the fight starts.
I know there's a lot of optimism surrounding this team. But again, I go back to this fact. I mean, the guys wear red jerseys for a reason. And you may say that he did something wrong to end up on the bottom
of
the
pile. No, not Danny Dimes. I don't know what happened. I haven't seen the fight, haven't been able to break it down. But I'm assuming that the fight was between somebody else and Danny Dimes. And a lot of quarterbacks are like, I'm the leader. Let me get in and show everybody I'm the leader. Break it up. And I think they got respect for you. But when I'm in the heat in a fight, you ain't, don't touch me. Don't grab me. Don't touch me. Let me handle what I got to handle. We'll be friends afterwards. But, you know, stay out of the business. You got the red jersey on for a reason. Fight break out. You go stand on the sideline out of harm's way.
Back
let the
grown-ups,
let the tough people try to handle their business.
So Daniel Jones weighed in on the fight, and he downplayed it afterwards. Take a listen.
We're just competing, and everyone's excited. First day of pads. Get out there. We got to do a better job, you know, controlling that and making sure we're controlled in our enthusiasm and excitement.
Were you, down the bottom of the pile with 90 grown men around you like that? What were you thinking?
I was fine. Yeah, I was all good. No problem.
What was Joe's message?
I think there's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
So what do you think about this? Is it much ado about nothing? Are you excited? Do you like the attitude that Joe Judge showed, making the guys run, trying to kind of send a message early on? It is training camp, so I don't want him doing this later in the season. But right now, making sure everybody knows you're the guy in charge, you're not going to tolerate that. Even though you want that tenacity, you want that competitiveness, you want these guys who want to go nose-to-nose, toe-to-toe, you can't take guys to the ground. Like, that is always what I remember hearing coaches yell anytime I was at training camp. We don't go to the ground. Don't go to the ground. You know, trying to remind guys that right now we're just kind of figuring out. You got an unless. You always got an unless.
You got to have – hey, guys, it's unless. Like, you know, sometimes you got to scrap it out, right? What you don't want to do, and the rules are you don't swing helmets and you don't punch at the helmet, because all I need is for somebody to break a wrist or break a hand, and we're dependent on you. So, you know, but if you got to go choke somebody out, choking is fine. Like, punching and gut punches is fine. Smacking open hand the helmets is fine. Little suplex, something like that, dump somebody on the neck real quick, that's fine.
I remember a Martellus Bennett, Kyle Fuller brawl. Ooh. Where there was a helmet being swung around.
Yeah, see, yeah, you wacky
D. I feel like that maybe crosses a little bit of
no
line.
Yeah, no weapons.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is brought to you by California Almonds. Country versus country, you versus the home printer. No matter the competition, you need natural fuel. Almonds are exactly that fuel for you. Almonds are natural, energy-packed, stay-on-task, feel-good fuel to power you through. California Almonds. Own your everyday, every day. We will let you weigh in on the brawl at Giants training camp next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Only one way to end the show. It's Caller Roulette. And it is next on KJZ on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range, or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Jay, Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. We got inside jokes, huh? We got inside Line 5 jokes?
We got them. You know
You're
going
to have to tell me about Line 5 inside jokes. After
can't get rights. Can't get rights. Always call on Line 5. I just don't know. I know what's wrong with
them. You know a lot of can't get rights?
Oh, I was littered with teams that can't get rights.
Too many can't get rights. All right, so they told me I just call a line. So I say, let's
spin the wheel.
Oh, we spin the wheel.
Aha. Now you call a line. What line you want?
I want line 2.
Corey from New York. I'm all for it with the coach sticking, saying the fight is not right. I think it's put up or shut up for these Giants, and I don't think there's any room for any games. No offense to the Eagles, but I think it's a three-team division race, and I think that Giants need to make the playoffs. And if it's not Daniel Jones, if he doesn't, then here comes Aaron Rodgers to the Giants.
Ooh, everybody wants to want a speed date with Aaron Rodgers, man. I tell you what.
No, they don't want a speed date with him. They want to marry him.
Oh, they want to marry him. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but it's like marrying somebody that you love and they like 75 years old. He already on he online. He online for the upper room. He's walking the green mile.
I blame Tom Brady for this, okay? I don't think players 10 years ago were thinking about playing into their 40s. I think everybody thought the ceiling was 36, maybe 37. Now you're going Brady's 44? Brady's 44.
Yeah, but
Rodgers wants to play into his 40s.
Well, Aaron, remember, he didn't play for 3 years, so he's a lot longer than people, you know, give him credit for, a little bit more tread left on the tires. But, you know, I think he likes to eat potatoes, so maybe he won't get as far as Tom Brady because he eats the nightshade.
I don't know. He told us about some real weird diet he's done this offseason. He told Kenny Mayne that when he chatted with him.
I don't know. With his shirt off when he was in Hawaii, it didn't look like it was doing too good. Never mind. I digress. I don't want the A-Rons coming after me.
Good stuff. All right, we continue here on Caller Roulette. Spin the wheel. Let's go out to line three.
Line three. This is live radio, man.
Hello?
Yes. What's up?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, Freddie in Utah by way of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. I'm just happy that my Giants and Yankees and Knicks are all going in the right direction, and the people who are leading them are making smart decisions. Like the Knicks not giving up the farm to get Dame, just doing the right thing, staying on course. And then Joe Judge is going to be the most successful Belichick disciple of all.
See, I think that fans like that. I think they like to see the fire from a guy like Joe Judge.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we tout like all the other fiery guys like John Gruden and back in the day Rex Ryan. We love the enthusiasm of guys like Sol and Vrabel. Right, so like he's right there. He just don't look the part. All those guys are physically imposing, big, you know, loquacious. And he's trying to make his way. Like, can he be one of the first or one of the very few of the assistants that come off the Bill Belichick tree that can be successful?
All right, let's spin the wheel. Caller Roulette continues here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Let's go out to line five. Line five, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Cross your fingers.
I think Carmelo can take it all the way to the championship. Not by himself, of course, with the Lakers. But LeBrick just has to speak to Russell. Wrong move.
Yeah, I mean, Carmelo, of course, he's ring chasing. And, like, he's not even riding shotgun. He's, like, sitting in, like, the third row of the Tesla or something. You know what I mean? Like, they just want him to come in, provide some veteran leadership, hit some big shots when open and when presented. If he can be Ray Allen to LeBron when he was in Miami, then it'd be great, and it'd be like a cherry on top to a Hall of Fame career.
That is too many brick nicknames. You already called him Russell Westbrick. And now he said LeBrick.
LeBrick. Well,
that's
listen.
Too many.
Just so you know, I'm from Detroit. Like, by nature, I just have to hate LeBron for the rest of his life because of the 25 that he put up against my squad in the quarter when he was a young whippersnapper.
Look, I said this. The roster is going to have LeBron's fingerprints all over it. But then if things go sideways, you got to be willing to take the finger pointing that comes along with it, right? Because you're orchestrating these things. You're bringing
Absolutely.
Your guys in. You're trying to make it work, trying to get these guys some rings, trying to win another title. I get it. But if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to be under the spotlight, under the microscope? Yes. LeBron James. All right, let's spin the wheel. Line one, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hey, what's up? Hey, this is Tony Hill from Vegas. I just want to talk about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It was 60-40, you know, until Tom Brady won. You know, now it's 50-50 to me, but I believe Bill Belichick would have went to the Bucks. He would have won a bowl, too, with that same roster. What do you guys think?
Nah, it's kind of hard to say, right? I don't know if, you know, now maybe if he brought Josh McDaniels with him, maybe if he had – I mean, listen, it was no secret that Tampa Bay had a tremendous roster, right? You know, Jameis Winston was able to be successful, and if you had Tom Brady, he just limited the turnovers. You knew that they were going to be right there for it. But it's hard to say that Bill Belichick and the way that he goes about business would have been able to motivate this group, right? Tom Brady went down there because he wanted to play a certain way with a certain type of freedom. I think we can all agree that we – enjoy the Tampa time a lot better than the New England time because he's a lot more transparent and actually a little bit funny.
Yeah, but getting to play a little loose, not really under the Patriot way, you know, clamps, if you will. But this is one of my most frustrating conversations in all of sports, Bart, if I'm being honest. How do you cut the pie?
Chicken
and egg. Go ahead and cut the pie for me, because we've been dealing with this in Green Bay for the last, you know, since draft day. How much is Aaron Rodgers responsible for the Packers' success? How much of it is Brian Gutekunst? How much of it is Matt LaFleur's scheme? You can't cut the pie.
Yeah.
You can't tell me Aaron Rodgers is 75% responsible for their success, because he's playing with guys that Brian Gutekunst put around him, and he's playing under Matt LaFleur's scheme. So right there, I don't even know how to split the pie between, you know, the Patriots. When you talk about Tom Brady, talk about Bill Belichick. Well, I won't do it.
Well, you know how we're going to measure it, right? We're going to measure it by who continues to win championships. If Brady wins another one and Bill doesn't go back to the Super Bowl, then we're going to say, hey, well, I guess it was all about Tom Brady, not really overlooking all the talent that he has on the roster.
Our NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, just tweeting, restricted free agent forward John Collins has agreed to a five-year, $125 million deal to stay with the Atlanta Hawks. Mm. He tells the agents, go ahead and tell them that. I've been noticing that this year. A lot more agent, you know, giving them a little shout out there.
Yeah,
I know the agents do all the work with the contracts and whatnot, but I'm starting to see a lot more of it being posted.
Well, agents are trying to put out there because they're recruiting. They're trying to say, hey, the guy that's getting all the big contracts, let me tell you who did that. Who did that? I did that. And this is the thanks I get. I started this barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Pop's barbecue.
I started this barbecue. All right, one more call. We'll get to it very quickly as we play Caller Roulette here on KJZ.
Gotta be fast.
Go to line six. You gotta be quick.
Johnny from New Jersey. Does Westbrook make the Lakers worse? Never been efficient, never been playing nice with the others.
I tell you what, it's going to come down to his ability to be able to perform in the clutch. Who knows?
I mean, he averages a triple-double. Better, I'll say better.
Yeah, hope he ain't got to shoot no free throws. See y'all guys next week, tomorrow. We'll be back,
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.